In a world of Democrats,
there will be time for them to make profits. Now's not that time.
And Republicans,
I've abandoned free market principles to save the free market system.
You need a voice of liberty. Look no further. You found it. Tom Woods. Beware, citizen. You are now departing from the world of allowable opinion. The Tom Woods Show.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wednesday, October 15th, 2014, and I'm doing the show by myself today. I'm going to talk to you guys about some of the issues that are raised in my new book, Real Dissent, A Libertarian Sets Fire to the Index Card of Allowable Opinion. Now, normally when I do the show on my own without a guest, I sketch a few things out on a piece of paper, just a few notes to keep me on track. The same thing I do when I engage in public speaking. I jot a few little notes out, and I go out there and talk. But I haven't done that for this. This is just going to be me talking, and we're just going to see what happens. It could be absolutely catastrophic, but we'll just have to wait and see. All right, the idea of the book, of course, is a theme that I talk about on this program all the time, that there's this artificially restricted range of allowable opinion in the United States, and for all I know, in a great many other countries as well. But it means that we're supposed to be content with what either Barack Obama says or Mitt Romney says. Like, that's it. And if your opinion is neither of those, then there must be something wrong with you. And what this translates into in practice is that we get two really lousy possibilities in each case. So whether it's foreign policy, we get two lousy possibilities. We get bellicosity and maybe slightly less bellicosity. And that's it, citizen. Make your choice. Or when it comes to depressed economic conditions, how do we get out of it? Well, either through fiscal policy or monetary policy. Again, two goofball, juvenile approaches. There's no third option. It's one of those kinds of intervention. And we see this all over the place, right? And all kinds of issues. There are the respectable opinions that you are allowed to hold. And by definition, if you hold something outside that spectrum, there's something wrong with you, we have to send you to a psychiatric ward, whatever. So the idea of real dissent is that we have a lot of phony dissent in America. Phony dissent is when you take for granted all the presuppositions of the regime, but your approach is 2.7% different. Well, that's not real dissent. I don't care if people are arguing about which way the government ought to take our money. Oh, it would be a lot better if the government seized a third of your gross income this way as opposed to that way. Sorry, that is not a fundamental question. A fundamental question is, why are we letting them do this at all? Like, that would be a fundamental question, but that's not allowed. By definition, by the way the argument is framed, that's not allowed. That's irresponsible. You've got to be a responsible person, a responsible so-called small government person, like David Brooks of the New York Times. Be responsible like him. Well, I don't want to be. I don't want to be David Brooks. I'd bore myself to death every day. How would I stay awake? I can't do that. So that's what the idea of the book is. That's what the book is about. That if you want real dissent, not the phony baloney dissent that we see on TV, where people who share all the same preconceptions are just bickering over the details, but if you want real dissent, you have to look basically to the libertarians, because then you'll get real dissent, not just what policy should the Fed follow. I mean, who the heck cares? Talk about rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. That's not the question we should be asking, especially in light of the Fed's real record. A lot of people think, well, the Fed has given us more stability than we had before. Why don't you know about the 19th century? All right. Well, you know what? I've answered that, and I've got a whole section of real dissent on the subject of the Federal Reserve that will equip you with arguments you can use when you are faced with that and other objections to your position, because that is another case in which real dissent is not allowed. The Fed, foreign policy, as I've already mentioned, I start off talking about foreign policy. And I'll tell you the truth. I was originally planning that to be part two of the book. The book is divided into 10 parts. I thought, you know what? I'll ease them into it by doing the capitalist section first, where I go after anti-capitalist writers, or I make positive arguments in favor of the market. And I put those in part one. I thought, well, this will ease people in. But no. People said, the people I trusted said, no, you should put the war stuff first. So I think that is a gutsy move, but that's what I've done. And I talk about in there, right from page one, my own experience that many of you know about and indeed share. A lot of people have this in common with me, that you grew up knowing that you were not a left liberal. So by default, you felt like I must be one of these conservative radio talk show hosts. I must be like one of those people. So I'll just listen to what they say, and I'll just go ahead and believe that. Now, it's not that they're absolutely wrong on everything. Very few people are absolutely wrong on absolutely everything. So I did learn some things in that phase of my life when I was a high school student and a college student. But I was dead wrong when it came to foreign policy. I was so gullible when it came to foreign policy. I was just the flip side of a left liberal on domestic intervention. A left liberal accepts all the domestic interventions, accepts all the official rationales given for those interventions by the government, and then demonizes opponents as being enemies of the poor. Well, what was I doing? I was accepting all the foreign interventions, and I was accepting all the official rationales given for those, and I was demonizing all opponents as being enemies of America. And I finally realized, whoa, wait a minute, they are playing me like a piano here. And with both sides, with left and right, both cheering on the government for one reason or another, well, we are just sunk. They must love what a racket they have going. They've got us split against each other, each of us wanting this sociopathic band of alleged public servants to do what it was they wanted it to do. Well, maybe we shouldn't think that way at all. Maybe we should think differently. So that's the gist of the book. Now, let me interrupt by telling you about getting it. About getting this book, I have a nice little site set up for it, realdescent.com. And if you go to realdescent.com, you'll find a video of me in 3 minutes giving you the gist. You'll find some endorsements. You'll find links to get the book via Kindle. You can get the paperback edition there, and also a link to get the free audiobook. So you can get that at realdescent.com. For the free audiobook, you can also go directly to tomwoodsaudio.com, tomwoodsaudio.com, and you get a free 30-day trial over at Audible, and that includes a free audiobook of Real Descent. Now, if you're a regular listener of this program, you'll know that I recorded the audiobook myself. I didn't outsource that to anybody else. I'm pretty sure I mentioned that on the show. If I didn't, I'm shocked that I didn't, because I was so tired doing that. It took a long, long, long time to record this book. I mean, it's a long book. It's 350 pages, something like that, when you add in the introduction and the preface and the foreword and all that. So it took a long time. But I did it, and I wanted to do it because I haven't really been all that happy with the people who have narrated my other books when I've had audiobook versions. And publishers don't even ask the author to narrate them. I think people think that I just declined the offer. I was not even given the offer. And I think the reason is that publishers assume that authors are good at writing, but that doesn't necessarily make them any good at reading. And that is true, that they are completely different skills. Sort of in the same way that just because you're a good investor doesn't mean you're a good economist. You know, you can understand investing and profit-making opportunities without understanding how the whole economy works. We see that all the time. All the time. A lot of investors have completely idiotic views of the economy. These are two different things. Well, likewise, reading and writing, two different things. But I think I actually can do it. And the people they've chosen to read my other books have sometimes been, well, let's just say not all that exciting to listen to. So I thought I will read the audiobook myself. So get the free copy of the audiobook at tomwoodsaudio.com. So part one is about war and foreign policy. And there are a number of chapters in part one, by the way, that kind of have conservatives in mind, because it's the conservatives who happen to be the most bellicose, I think, when it comes to foreign policy. And I wanted to speak to them directly because they think they're being so conservative in supporting all these interventions. And of course, nothing could be less conservative in terms of what the outcomes have been. What could possibly be less conservative than the foreign policy of George W. Bush? And also because I used to be somebody who thought that way. I used to think that way myself. I used to be one of these people. I feel compelled to reach out to them and talk to them. So you'll find a few chapters that do that. Then part two, capitalism and anti-capitalism. You get a lot of critics of capitalism, particularly in the wake of the financial crisis. They think capitalism caused this. But they always have a fuzzy understanding of what capitalism actually is. Very rarely do you get any kind of definition of capitalism or the free market from these people. And that's the source of their confusion. So I talk about that. And again, a lot of this is ammunition that I hope you guys yourselves can use when you're engaged in argument. Then part three, I don't know if this is my favorite part. All right, I just dropped my pen. There's some realism. Okay, there's some realism here on the show. If you heard that, that was a real live pen dropped live on the show. Libertarianism Attacked and My Replies, or part three. If that's not my absolute favorite, it's pretty darn close, because I've kind of come to specialize in replies. Because people will email me and they'll say, you've got to smack down this article. This article needs a Woods smackdown. So I have usually way more articles than I could possibly have time to answer, but I enjoy doing that because it's an interesting intellectual exercise for me. And I think also it helps other people, to answer similar arguments themselves. And also it kind of bucks up the morale and the courage of some of our people to see that these arguments, which may have seemed difficult to answer, or you might have feared that maybe they're going to stump us after all, really aren't so tough to dispose of. So I've taken a lot of those things that I've done over the years, and I've put them together in one convenient location, namely this book, Real Dissent. Then I have a section in here on Ron Paul himself. I wrote an awful lot about Ron over the years, during the presidential campaigns in particular, and I loved debating the subject of Ron Paul, especially with neocons, also with progressives. There's some of that in here too, but particularly with neocons. Oh, they couldn't stand Ron. They could look the other way on every hideous, awful domestic intervention program that their favored candidate supported. They could look the other way on the most incredible enormities. But Ron wants non-intervention abroad, well, that just makes him crazy. Or Ron wants the gold standard, so that makes him crazy. I mean, these are supposed to be conservatives here. They think that it's crazy to think that maybe the monetary system we have now might not be the best conceivable one. So this is some of my stuff taking them on behalf of Ron and the whole cause, and also assessing the Ron Paul phenomenon, because it is a very, very important episode in American history. I already told you there's a section about the Federal Reserve, and I'm really pleased with this, because this will definitely help you win debates. Because people will throw the 19th century at you, they'll throw this and that at you, and you'll have a lot of ammunition there. And it's also, it's not just technical stuff. I don't want you to think it's going to be technical economics. I think this is a fun read. This is probably the most enjoyable book to read of all the dozen books that I've written. I think it's breezy, but yet it packs a punch in terms of information. That's what I try to do. One thing I can't stand are books that I learn two or three things from, and that most of it is just padding and fluff and just a lot of verbosity. I can't stand that. I want a book to be packed with information. I've mentioned, we were talking to David Friedman just yesterday. We were talking about Terence Keeley's book, The Economic Laws of Scientific Research. Now, that's the kind of book I'm talking about. That book blows your mind every single page. You're learning things you didn't know. You're learning things that upend the conventional wisdom. That's the kind of book I like, because I feel like I'm getting the most bang for my buck and for my time, which is an extremely precious resource to me. I want to maximize how much I learn. So that's how I've always modeled my books. is to pack them with information without filler. That, by the way, is why Meltdown is actually a fairly short book. That's the book about the financial crisis. That book is not even 200 pages, I don't think. But I thought this gives the basic overview that an American needs to understand this, and no more. I mean, it's a tough enough task to get somebody to read a book on the economy to start with. But if you make it 1,000 pages, well, you're just putting obstacles in your own path. All right, anyway, let's see. What did I do in... Okay, part six. I like part six. Well, I like all the parts. I mean, if I didn't like them, why would I put them in? History and liberty. So here I talk about a number of themes that you may have heard me talk about in the past, but in more detail. For example, I've got some discussion of labor unions and the real history there. I've got the exchange with Mark Levin. I've got my two major pieces talking to Mark Levin about presidential war powers. And I've got some pretty good stuff on state nullification with regard to how you answer critics, because, of course, I've had to answer an awful lot of them since my book Nullification came out in 2010. Then I have a short little section, part seven, called When Libertarians Go Wrong. And here I have several chapters in which I talk about, well, you know, I try not to mention names because I don't want to make this into a name-calling thing where people will know that I'm talking about this person, and then people get focused on personalities. I don't want it to be about personalities. But there are certain phenomena within libertarianism that annoy me and that I think need to be talked about. And I almost don't want to give that away because this is fun stuff. I don't want to give that away. But this is a very small sliver of the book, and I know there'll be some people who say, Woods, you shouldn't engage in infighting. And I mean, I think most of you know I really don't. I genuinely don't. I have good reason to, given the way some of these jerks have treated me over the years. I have good reason to, but I don't. I really, you know, I'm too busy. I'm too busy actually doing things, actually producing stuff, producing content, producing courses for RonPaulHomeschool.com, hint, hint, hint. I'm keeping busy, but sometimes this has to be done. And, you know, I know some of you will go right to part seven. It's a guilty pleasure. You want to know what's in there, right? You're gonna pick this thing up. You're going to zip right to part seven. I know that's true of some of you, and that's okay. In part eight, I talk about several books that I like very much that have come out over the past few years that might have escaped your attention, that might not be all that well known, but that, again, are these kinds of books that pack an informational punch. For part nine, I took five of my favorite episodes of this show from the year 2014. And I reproduced the transcripts of those. Now, you know, I did a free ebook of all the transcripts from 2013, which you can get at tomwoods.com/woodsbook. But these are from 2014. These are some of my favorites. And this is to give people a flavor of my show who haven't maybe listened to the show before. But also, even if you have, well, if you're like me, you don't remember absolutely everything the guest said. So it is useful to have the transcripts to go back and glance at them. You don't have to listen to the whole episode again. And there's just a lot of great information and great back and forths in these interviews, so I reproduce those. And then finally, part 10 is two kind of back-to-basics chapters. You know, now that we've covered all this ground, let's revisit what is the basic message of our philosophy, and let's keep our eye on that ball. Now, I also have an afterword, and it's called How I Evaded the Gatekeepers of Approved Opinion. And that sort of brings people up to date on why did it take me nearly 4 years to release a book? Well, it's because I've been up to a number of other things. And these other things involve bypassing the gatekeepers of approved opinion, whether it's the Ron Paul Homeschool program. And by the way, if you're interested in getting my stuff from the Ron Paul Homeschool program, just my courses that I've created, I've got Introduction to Government, 90 video and audio lessons. You can do either one, whatever you prefer, covering all kinds of topics, all kinds, political philosophy, the philosophy of rights, all different types of governmental systems, communism, fascism, social democracy, monarchy, republicanism, etc. Then all different public policy questions, all kinds of things like that are covered in that. Then Western civilization from the ancient world up to 1492. You can get those at TomWoodsHomeschool.com. That's kept me busy. LibertyClassroom.com has kept me busy. And this show is keeping me busy. And all of these in a really good way. I'm really thrilled to be doing these things. I'm pretty confident that they add value. People are benefiting from them and enjoying them. I mean, I certainly have a lot of downloads of this show, that's for sure. So I talk a bit about that at the end. Now, as I say, you can get the book, of course, through Amazon. You can go to realdescent.com, and all the links are there. And it's a fancy little landing page. I'm pretty happy with how it came out. But you can also get the book by supporting this show. If this show is giving you value, then I urge you to consider becoming a supporting listener of the show. And one of the benefits is you get the Kindle edition of this book. And the Kindle edition of the book has a lot of hyperlinks in it, so it takes advantage of the fact that you're viewing it on a device so that you can click on things. Of course, you don't get that with the paper edition. So I'll send you a free copy of the Kindle edition of the book as a supporting listener of the show. But as you can see, you get a lot of other things. You get our course on what's wrong with textbook economics. You get discounts at a lot of Liberty outlets. Depending on the level of support, you're getting free mini courses. I'll keep adding to those as time goes on and as I'm able to do that. Mini courses that are just for you guys on different topics. My courses for the Ron Paul Homeschool Program are there. Liberty Classroom is there. It's a whole bunch of stuff. That's why I call it the Tom Woods Bag of Goodies. So that's another way to get the book. And you can do that over at supportinglisteners.com. All right, so that's the book. Now let me tell you a few things that I intend to do in the coming months. Now again, remember that the preparation of courses for RonPaulHomeschool.com does absorb an awful lot of my time. This week, by the way, I'm preparing lessons on utopian thought in the 16th and 17th centuries, on the Thirty Years' War, on the English Civil War, and on the Levelers, who are sometimes thought to be the first full-fledged libertarian group of thinkers. This keeps me really, really, really busy. But I am going to try to do some substantial projects in between doing this show for you guys Monday through Friday. And remember, make sure and subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher, which you can do at TomWoodsRadio.com with the subscription links there. But here's what I'm planning to do. I may be issuing, as you guys know who subscribe to my newsletter, you can get my newsletter at TomWoods.com or TomWoodsRadio.com and get my newsletter. I am thinking of doing a little ebook on public speaking. I've thought about doing that. People have asked me to do something on public speaking, and I've hesitated to do it because I'm not sure I can teach it. So I'm going to have to sit down when I finally have time to just sit down and think, just quiet time with nothing else on my mind to just think about it. I have to see if I do have any real advice. I think I've got some advice. Does it rise to the level of an ebook? I just don't know yet. So I'm going to think about that. And it wouldn't be like these typical public speaking books. Oh, gosh, you know, telling you how to gesture and, you know, keep eye contact with people and all this stuff that makes you think that public speaking is something mechanical, like there are steps to follow and makes you self-conscious, I think. Am I staring at people in the right way? No, that's all wrong. Don't even think that way. Don't think like that. So I am considering doing that. I'm also planning to come up with, for you guys, a free guide to how to start a podcast. I've had people ask, could you do a podcast about podcasting? Well, that's pretty good. You know, that's even better than a coffee table book about coffee tables. I am thinking of doing that, but I think instead of a podcast about podcasting, I'm going to do a full-fledged step-by-step tutorial with several videos showing you how to go from having no podcast whatever to having a flourishing podcast that is available on iTunes, etc. Now, I can't, of course, make your podcast flourish. Like, that kind of depends on you and your content. But the point is, I can take you from nothing, no podcast at all, to having one up and running and showing you how to do it. I think some people would like to do this, to like to do what I'm doing, but they feel like it's just an impossible technical task. And how would they ever get started? And one thing I think I am good at is explaining things. When I was in high school, I was a tutor. I used to tutor students in a variety of subjects, usually math. And the athletic coaches used to send me athletes who were on the verge of being kicked off the team or suspended because of grades, and they needed these students' grades to get a boost, and they would send them to me because I knew how to explain math so that a regular person would understand it. I would just think to myself, what was it that I wish they had explained to me when I was first taught this stuff that would have cleared it up from the start if they had just explained it this way, and then I just explain it that way? And I've just had countless people say, well, now I get it. I wish my teacher explained it to me that way. So I think I'm a good explainer. And so I'm going to explain, again, step by step, what it is that I do. I'll show you how I make my podcast, step by step. Now, I don't know when I'm going to have time for that particular project. I've got a lot of things I'm juggling right now because I'm moving my website. We're taking TomWoodsRadio.com. I'm going to take the podcast and blend it in with TomWoods.com. And TomWoodsRadio.com, I'll still own that. That'll redirect to the site page, show page at TomWoods.com. But I don't like, this is too far flung, having two different sites. It's complicated, and I don't like the setup of the Tom Woods Radio site right now. It's going to be much, much better when I've folded it into TomWoods.com. But there are a lot of things. I have to take all the shows that I have hosted with one place, and I'm shifting them over to another. I mean, it's just a... well, anyway, if my assistant is listening, that's going to be your project. That's what I'm paying you for. So anyway, I got a lot of things on my mind. But sometime in the next few months, I should be able to get to that guide to podcasting. And then in 2015, maybe into 2016, more realistically, I haven't told anybody this really, just a couple people. And I haven't told Scott that I'm saying this now, but let's just put it this way. If you know Scott Horton, the guest, there are two Scott Hortons. There's one guy who writes, I think, for Harper's. That's not the one we're talking about. The international lawyer, I think. We're talking Scott Horton of the Scott Horton Show. You know he has an encyclopedic knowledge of foreign policy. If you listen to this show, he comes on and everybody loves him. Well, we are thinking about writing a foreign policy book together. And I think that would be maybe the most important thing I've ever been a part of. I don't know. I mean, I've been privileged to do a lot of things that I'm really pleased with in my life, but if that's not the most important thing, it is in the top five, I'll put it that way. So a lot of fun things to come, things that I hope will be helpful to people, useful to people, and included in that, of course, is the ongoing promotion of Real Dissent. So again, if you appreciate what I'm doing, please support the show at supportinglisteners.com. You'll get the free Kindle edition. Otherwise, at realdissent.com, you can also get this stuff. And as I say, you can get the free audiobook with me reading it. All right, tomorrow we're talking to Carla Garrick of the Free State Project. And then Friday, we welcome back, after a year's absence from the program, Mark Sisson of the Primal Blueprint. Then on Monday, it's John Lee Dumas, host of the wildly popular podcast Entrepreneur on Fire. So make sure and subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher at TomWoodsRadio.com so you don't miss any of these episodes. Thanks for helping me spread the word about RealDissent.com and about the Tom Woods Show, everybody. I sure appreciate all you guys. Thanks so much. See you tomorrow.
The Tom Woods Show.